Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. This morning we'll be reading text 39. Canto 3, Chapter 24. Mam Atmanam Swayam Jyoti Sarva Bhuta Gaha Guhashayam Atmanyevatmana Viksha Vishoko bhayam richchasi. Mam atmanam swayam jyoti. Sarva bhuta gohashayam. Atmanyevatmana viksha. Vishoko bhayam richchasi. Richasi Mam Me Atmanam, the Supreme Soul or Paramatma. Svayam Jyoti, Self Effulgent. Sarva Bhuta, of all beings. Guha, in the hearts. Ashayam, dwelling. Atmani, your own. Eva, indeed. Atmana, through your intellect. Viksha, always seeing, always thinking. Vishokaha, free from lamentation. Abhayam, fearlessness. Richasi, you will achieve. Translation. So this is Kapila Dev speaking to Kardama Muni. He's given permission yesterday for Kardama to go to the forest and continue his life of meditation upon Kapila. In your own heart, through your intellect, you will always see me, the supreme self-effulgent soul, dwelling within the hearts of all living entities. Thus you will achieve the state of eternal life, free from all lamentation and fear. Report. People are very anxious to understand the Absolute Truth in various ways, especially by experiencing the Brahma Jyoti or Brahman effulgence, by meditation, and by mental speculation. But Kapila Dev uses the word mam to emphasize that the personality of Godhead is the ultimate feature of the Absolute Truth in Bhagavad Gita. The personality of Godhead always says, Mam, unto me. But the rascals misinterpret the clear meaning. Mam is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If one can see the Supreme Personality of Godhead as he appears in different incarnations and understand that he has not assumed a material body, own eternal spiritual form, then one can understand the nature of the personality of Godhead. Since the less intelligent cannot understand this point, it is stressed everywhere again and again. Simply by seeing the form of the Lord as he presents himself by his own internal potency as Krishna or Rama or Kapila, one can directly see the Brahma Jyoti, because the Brahma Jyoti is no more than the effulgence of his bodily luster. Since the sun shines is the luster of the sun planet. By seeing the sun, one automatically sees the sunshine. Similarly, by seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one simultaneously sees and experiences the Paramatma feature as well as the impersonal Brahman feature of the Supreme. Paragraph. The Bhagavatam has already enunciated that the Absolute Truth is present in three features. In the beginning, as the impersonal Brahman, in the next stage as the Paramatma in everyone's heart, and at last as the ultimate realization of the Absolute Truth, Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One who sees the Supreme Person can automatically realize the other features, namely the Paramatma and Brahman features of the Lord. The words used here are Vishoko Bhayam Vichasi. Simply by seeing the Personality of Godhead, one realizes everything. And the result is that one becomes situated on the platform where there's no lamentation and no fear. This can attain us to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The verse again. In your own heart, through your intellect, you will always see me, the Supreme Self-Effulgent Soul, dwelling within the hearts of all living entities. Thus, you will achieve the state of eternal life free from all lamentation and fear. The verses, one of the key verses referenced in the purport, is something that's found in Canto 1, Chapter 2. A very important verse. There's in that Canto 1, Chapter 2, there's two verses that are pointed to by our acharyas as being particularly important for the entire Bhagavatam. This one referenced as one of them. The primary one is the one that states that Krishna is Swayam Bhagavan. Krishna is the fountainhead or source of everything. Everything comes from him. Same as he states in Bhagavad Gita. I'm the source of everything, everything comes from me. By definition, that's the Absolute Truth. Vedanta Sutra is searching for that from which everything comes. So, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna declares, I am that from which everything comes. And the Bhagavatam declares, Swayam Bhagavan Krishna is that from which everything comes. Searching for the Absolute Truth has a purpose. We take shelter there. That's our human mission, is to discover that which is the source of everything and connect with that which is that's the meaning of yoga, to connect with that which is the source of everything. Then there's this other, that's called Paribhasha Sutra. Technically, that's a technical term that has a Vedic definition of what it is. And it's one verse generally found at the beginning of a text or early in the text that expresses the essence of the entire text, and it is like the emperor that rules many kings. There may be other kingly or very important statements in a text. They must be understood to be in alignment with that principal one, the emperor, Paribhasha Sutra. Then there's another technical term called Mahavakya. Mahavakya means principal utterance. Mahavakya. Vak means speech. So that's this other one that's referenced. And I'll say it slowly, the verse. Vedanta tat. Tatva vid vas. Tatvam yajganam advayam. Advayam, the non-dual nature of the absolute truth, by those who are learned Vedantists, Vedanta vid, they know the Vedanta. So, what's that non-dual substance that learned persons that know Vedanta say? Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavaniti, Abhyate. Very packed up little verse. That says, again, those who are realized knowers of the truth, they understand that the absolute, the non-dual reality of existence has three features. Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan. Interesting. They're all non-dual. Bhagavan is non-dual. He is of the absolute nature. He is absolute. There's no duality in him. As Prabhupada is pointing out in the purport, it's a mistake some commentators make to say that when Krishna appears, there's an inside Krishna and the outside Krishna. There's no inside out. Like we have an inside outside. We have a body. And we have a soul. So the soul is the inside and the body is the outside. And we're not the body, we're the soul. That's, for us, there's a distinction between the body and self. For Krishna, there is no distinction. There is no distinction. Mudho yam nabhi janati. The persons who are foolish, they think manushim. Tanam ashratam. They think I've accepted a material body like they have. I'm like one of them, but I'm not one of them, those foolish people, because my body and myself are the same. So this Bhagavan feature is non-dual. The form and the person, the entity that has the form, there's no difference. That's the nature of the absolute realm. And this Bhagavan feature aspect, and that's the Paramatma feature, and then that has another aspect, the same absolute truth has the Brahman feature. So what Prabhupada is explaining keeps it really simple. The Brahman, or the Brahma Jyoti, that's the effulgence of the Lord's spiritual form. Commonly like in paintings. There's an effulgence around part of Krishna's body, generally, like saintly people, they show effulgence around their head, or the upper part of the upper torso. Effulgence. So that light is connected to the self. So there's no disconnect. Krishna has effulgence. Wherever there's Krishna, there's effulgence. Wherever there's effulgence, there's Krishna. They're inseparable. So the Jyoti, the Brahma Jyoti, is an aspect of that same absolute truth. And then comes the Paramatma feature, which is being described in the, to some extent is being described in the purport, or the verse, situated in the heart of every living entity as Bhagavan expanded. And Bhagavan expands everywhere in that feature, the Paramatma feature. Something that I learned from Radhika Raman, a devotee that did his PhD at Oxford University in three verses of Jiva Goswami's Sandarbhas, and Paramatma Sandarbha specifically. And he describes the Paramatma feature in interesting language. It's a compressed or suppressed exhibition of the Supreme Lord, that is to say, Bhagavan has 64 qualities. Paramatma has 4 less of those 64. He has 60 qualities. And as a specific function on behalf of Bhagavan, he's expanded to oversee the affairs of the material energy. He doesn't become contaminated by them, but he deals with creation, maintenance, and dissolution. That's the Paramatma feature, the Vishnu feature. So that Vishnu feature and the Brahmajyoti feature and the Bhagavan, Krishna's to Bhagavan Swayam feature, they're all of the same absolute nature. There's not duality within them. So now how does that fit into what the verse is saying and the purport is saying? It connects to the word mom. Mom is a personal pronoun. Me, unto me, not just me, but unto me. Possessive pronoun. Think of me. Or be man, mana, bhava mad bhakto, madhyaji mam, namaskuru. It's personal. But it's a pronoun, and there are followers of the Vedas, particularly there's the Gyanis, those that like the Upanishads, that speak of that same absolute in a pronoun as tat. That pronoun, that refers to whatever that is, whatever the source of everything is, that's the absolute truth, so it's tat. So they interpret, because they're Gyanis, they interpret that tat means impersonal Brahman. And if you take that position, then what happens to Paramatma and Bhagavan? They disappear. Philosophical magic. Like the rabbit. See the hat? There's no rabbit. And then they stick their hand in and pull the rabbit out, and then they put the rabbit back in the hat, and the rabbit's gone. They say, the Gyanis that study the Upanishads say, that word tat refers to Brahman, and all there is Brahman, and anything else is not Brahman. Anything else is anything, anywhere there's the appearance of more than one thing, that's Maya. So the form of Krishna's body is Maya. This idea that there's a Paramatma feature, that's Maya. And they just whitewash the whole, these series of distinctions that Prabhupada says. It's in the Vedas again and again and again and again and again and again and again, because there's a tendency to go that other way. That go that other way is a philosophical, basically word jugglery, that says, I'm the Supreme. And here's our scriptural references and our interpretation of these scriptural references that justifies that position. We're the Supreme. Aham, Brahmasmi being one of them. I am the Supreme. See? I'm the Supreme. There it says, Aham, Brahmasmi. Dismissing all the rest of what the Vedas are also saying. Just, that's taken as the principal utterance, and therefore other messages are to be interpreted through that lens. I am Supreme. I am the Absolute. You and me and every one of us were God. That's the notion that such spiritual view holds. And the emphasis is being presented here. There's many, but the emphasis here is this mom is first person singular. It's not a mistake. It's intentional. Kapila Dev is speaking first person singular, saying that I am within the heart. then he adds that one can see him in his spiritual form as he is present in his Paramatma future within the heart of every living entity. He's everywhere. Exactly as Prahlad said to his father, Hiranyakashipu, where is Vishnu? He's everywhere. Not figuratively. The form of Vishnu, the Paramatma feature, is within every atom and within the heart of every living entity, like the discussion yesterday evening. Within our body there's the soul. But there's not just one entity within this body, there's all kinds of microbes and microorganisms and germs and what have you. And there are also souls there. And each soul has side by side within the soul Paramatma. He's everywhere, literally. He's not just within the soul, he's within every atom. Literally everywhere. In that sense, all pervasive. But that's an expansion, a kala in the Sanskrit language, or a portion of a plenary portion, there's a technical reason why that language is used, of Bhagavan. And we can say Krishna's in the heart of every living entity, which is true, in his Vishnu form, in his Paramatma form. And he's giving this benediction. Kapila is giving to his pure devotee, Kardama. When you go to the forest and engage in your meditation, you will see me. In your heart, always. And it's worth noting, in the Sanskrit word for word, viksha, atmani, evatmana, viksha. Viksha is translated word for word as always seeing, as well as always thinking. Iksha, it's your eyes. You see things with your eyes. But you don't see Paramatma with your eyes. You see with your pure consciousness. It becomes revealed in the heart, not with material eyes, but with, you could say, with spiritual eyes. Then Prabhupada puts kama, always thinking. So, thinking, it's interesting. When one, supposing you have family members, most of us have family members, some, you know, parents or sisters or family members or children. And if you think of them, the mind goes there, in the mind there's an image. Prabhupada gives this really nice example. Sometimes, it's less common these days than I used to see it regularly, people would sometimes keep little baby shoes. So when they see the little baby shoes, they see their little baby. Now the baby is now grown up, a young child or youth or whatever. But when they see the baby shoes, they see the baby, you know, the infant that was wearing the little shoes in their mind or their heart. They have those feelings towards their little child, although the little child is now no longer a little baby anymore. That's why they have the shoes. By the way, the shoes to be on their feet. Or he would use that example to say, when you see things like a tree as a manifestation of Krishna's energy, you think of Krishna. And someone who's Krishna conscious, they see all things, because all things are emanations from him, in relation to the source of emanation. We discussed this two evenings ago from Prahlad's prayers. It's part of being Krishna conscious, is seeing things in relation to the source of emanation. So he's saying, Kapila Dev is saying, when you go to the forest and you resume your meditation, you'll see me in your heart. As I'm situated in the heart of all living entities, you'll see me situated in your heart. It's something similar to what happened with Narada, or then in turn with Vyasa. But Narada says in his previous life, he saw Lord Vishnu, and then suddenly he disappeared. Or Vyasa, under the order of Narada, he saw Lord Vishnu in trance of meditation. And he didn't just see Vishnu, he saw the whole of the spiritual world. Apashat Purusham Purnam. He saw the Purusha in fullness. And fullness means his effulgence, in the Bhagavan feature, his associates, everything. The spiritual world. He saw the whole thing. Although it was within his mind, it was his mind on the Absolute Truth, on the Supreme Absolute Truth, and he saw the Absolute Truth in fullness. So Kapila Dev is saying, you will see me. Again, Bhagavan, first person singular. So two other things, you know. And there's one of the many nice verses in Brahma Samhita says, I'll say it in general, one who is a devotee, who is fixed in devotion and devotional love, will see not just Paramatma, but will see the Shyamasundara form. That's the Bhagavan feature within the heart. No, it's the Paramatma feature that's in the heart. But the Supreme Lord reciprocates with the devotion of each devotee as he appeared in the form of Nrisimhadev for Prahlad. Or he appeared in the form as Lord Ramachandra for Dasarath, and etc. He appears in the form of one's devotion. So if one has devotion for Shyamasundar, he'll appear in the heart as Shyamasundar. Premanjana charita bhakti vilochanena santak sadaiva hridayeshu vilokayanti yam Shyamasundaram achincha guna swarupam. With inconceivable qualities, infallible, perfect spiritual qualities in his spiritual form, Govindam Adipurusham Hambaja. Kardama Muni is a devotee, not just a meditator, yogi, mystic. He's all those things, but he's a devotee above all. He's going to see the form of Kapila. So it's not a contradiction, because there's different aspects of the Absolute Truth. And the other aspects, the Brahman and Paramatma aspects, they rest, or they find their pratishtha, their basis and support, in the personal feature. The very last verse of the Modes of Material Nature chapter 14, Bhagavad Gita, Krishna makes that statement. Brahmano, he, pratishtha, aham. Again, it's first person singular, aham. I am the pratishtha, the basis and support, existential basis and support of Brahman. Brahmano, he means certainly. Certainly. I am the pratishtha of Brahman. The effulgence comes from the person. And within that effulgence rest so many other things, but I am the pratishtha of that which is the rest of so many things. I'm the absolute truth, in other words. Brahman is an aspect of me and it rests upon me. That's the realization of a devotee, and the scriptural support for that is right within Bhagavad Gita. Very, very explicit. And last is this interesting phrase, through your intellect. In your own heart, through your intellect, you will always see me, the supreme, self-effulgent soul, dwelling within the hearts of all living entities. Thus you will achieve the state of eternal life, free from all lamentation and fear. So, what is that through your intellect phrase? In the Sanskrit of the verse, it's Atmana, 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 through your intellect. The mind, when things are in proper order, the mind guides the intelligence. When things are in disorder, the mind rules and the intelligence serves the mind. Material intelligence becomes the servant of the mind. But there's a nice verse in Bhagavad Gita where the indriyas are above prakriti, material nature. Above the indriyas or senses is the mind. Above the mind is the intelligence, and above all is the soul. And of course, above the soul is the supreme soul. Yoga is to connect the soul with the supreme soul. And then the proper alignment of intellect, senses, and the body, the gross elements of the body, and then connecting with the world around us, the objects of the senses. Everything is in proper alignment when the yoga link is in order. It's all in disarray when it's not. So the intelligence, this Atmana that's being spoken of, this is similar to the intelligence that's found in Bhagavad Gita. Didami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upiyanti te. Krishna says, Bhagavad Gita 10, chapter 11, or chapter 10, text 11, unto those who are constantly devoted to me, I give them the intelligence by which they can come to me. So the intelligence, when it's in proper order, it's given directly by Krishna, and it guides the mind and the activities of life in such a way we can reach Krishna. Yena mam upiyanti te. So you can reach me. That's nice. Like, we get confused sometimes. How do we make a proper choice when a circumstance confronts us? And if you're like Krishna describes in Bhagavad Gita, he'll give the intelligence. Or as Kapila Deva is describing here, I will give the intelligence, Atmana. And if we don't have that devotion, conversely, then we won't have the intelligence to guide the mind to the right place. The mind will wander, and it's chanchala, it's very flickering, sometimes and sometimes and sometimes, and it's troubling. Not steady, unsteady. Kapila Deva is beyond that because the Supreme Personality of Godhead is going to give him the intelligence to stay fixed in his mood of devotion and seeing the Supreme Lord, thinking of him always and seeing him. Actually, one other point, this very last part of the line, of the verse, Abhayam and Vishoka. Shoka means lamentation. Vishoka means without lamentation. So, lamentation arises when we have a desire that's not fulfilled. Say it the other way around. A sure way to become miserable is to have unrealistic expectations. If you want to be formula, have expectations that don't match reality. And you'll feel frustrated because your expectations don't match reality. So then lamentation. Oh. The stage of connecting with the Supreme Personality of Godhead is there aren't material kind of expectations. The expectation is Krishna is very kind. And then whatever comes from Krishna is fine because Krishna is very kind. It's a realization of someone that has Krishna consciousness. You know, like Prahlad. He's not, hey, I'm a devotee. Why are you putting me through this difficulty? Not fair. I'm good. I'm nice. I'm a little boy. You know, why put me through a difficulty like this? Not fair. There's no lamentation. The circumstance isn't determining happiness and distress. That was the message from yesterday evening. Those two masks, happiness. Prahlad is saying, oh, no, thank you. I only want one thing. What's that one thing? I want the association of your devotees, your exalted devotees, who can teach the way of always remaining fixed in your devotional service, fixed at your feet, serving you favorably. So desire doesn't have to become zero. Desire has to become in connection with the Supreme. And when that's there, vishoka, no shoka. No material harsha either. No material happiness. It's not a goal of life, material happiness. Let me get something and then I can be happy. And if I don't get that something or the something I get and then it goes away, shoka. Vishoka. It's Vaikuntha, another way of anxiety. No lamentation. And fear, bhaya, is the place of consciousness of fearlessness. And one can be, you know, a macho bully or something and, you know, no fear. It's a bluff. The reality is that this is a place where we don't know what's going to happen next. We're going to get in our car and go back to where we came from. And we don't know if we're going to get to our destination. I mean, well, good chance. But we don't know. And at some point, we're going to start our day, and the day isn't going to end. I mean, the day won't complete. Excuse me, the other way around. That we know for sure. Death is certain. We don't know when, but we know it's for certain. So there's built into life is death. Krishna says it very plainly in Bhagavad Gita. Whatever takes birth, death is certain. Whatever dies, birth again is certain. Of course, unless one becomes free from the cycle of birth and death. There's just certain things that are fear-producing. There was this publicity at one point in time when Walt Disney died. He was extremely wealthy. One of the things that he did was he had his body frozen so that when they figured out how you could become eternal, they could thaw his body out and he could live again eternally. Far out, huh? You know, the world of fantasy, Walt Disney. Technology can do anything. Technology can't defy janma mrityu jara vyadhi. Those are infallible features. How to go beyond fear is go into the spiritual realm. There's nothing to be gained and nothing to lose. Everything is eternal. Nice little verse. Any discussion?
Hare Krishna. I have two questions. I think one of them you answered. So the Kapil Dev, when he's saying the evil, Karam Muni will realize the Paramatma feature, it is actually the Samsundara form that he will see.
It's up to the Supreme Lord, but yes, he'll show himself according to the devotion or the mood of love of the devotee. He'll show himself accordingly.
So he's already, Kadamuni is already pure devotee. So why is, because he already realized, the Bhagavan teacher is seeing in front of him.
It's discussed in this chapter. It's a natural question. And it's discussed. And he's setting an example. For him, it's 50-50. Or six of one, half a dozen of the other, as they say. He can be with the Supreme Lord, Kapila, and see him. Or he can go to the forest and see him, as is literally as he's seeing him by not going to the forest. So he's going to set an example. He's a pure devotee, and he's doing things. Whatever he does, it's for service, and it's a service to set an example. Now he could do something else also, but that was the what was desired by the Supreme Lord for him, and so he did. You and I probably wouldn't want to do that. This is it. Here he is. And it's his son. He has parental affection. He appeared as a son because that's his rasa. So, stay. But he's inspired to show by example. Second question? You got both of them? Okay. Anything else? Yeah?
Hare Krishna. My question is, we know that we want to be chant and be happy. And at the same time, you're asked to introspect. And when I find myself doing that, I find there are things that don't make me happy. This introspecting, some of the shortcomings, the blind spots, things like that.
Okay.
So my question is just... So I don't want to work on those because I feel like they're too much, overwhelming.
Okay.
So should one try to work on them as alongside chanting, or just chanting with the time will take care of those things?
I got the question. Well, it can work either way. And Prabhupada has at times spoken in both directions. That is to say, the direction that you're just go away. The bhakti process is such that it naturally cleanses the heart and removes unwanted things from the heart. So that's seems to indicate just try to make your bhakti very strong, to chant and be happy, and the other services that follow from chanting, and the unwanted things will be dissipated just by bhakti, the power of bhakti. Then there's another that says from chanting then comes a desire to serve. And with the desire to serve, the mood, the spirit is, let the master be pleased. So we want to come before Krishna, and Krishna is pleased. But take a look at me. I've got all these things that are not displeasing, and they may be hidden from me and or from others, but they're not hidden from Krishna. Is that pleasing to Krishna? Now, you can go the other side. Well, Krishna knows, and Krishna is pleased, so he'll take care of the other things. Or, one can say, because in the front position, there's, I want to please Krishna, then there's some things I know that are not so pleasing to Krishna, so let me take that, I want to please Krishna energy, in spirit and enthusiasm, and address these things. So, anartha nivritti, eradication of unwanted things, anartha nivritti, comes on the strength of bhakti. But it's a different way of looking at the same thing. Bhakti takes care of it. But I don't want to make Krishna a janitor to come clean up this heart. I want to be his servant. And when he gives me the indication there's dirty things, let me make them clean. That's part of my service. It's a subset of wanting to please Krishna, the one thing that Krishna will be pleased. It's not separate from the bhakti process. It's part of the bhakti process. To overcome, to take the strength of wanting to please Krishna, strength of devotion, and in practical ways, make efforts to make the place clean. That's part of the Chaita Dharpana Marjanam message. There's something that we do rather than just something that Krishna does. And something that we do is not just chant, but desire to please Krishna. That's the fruit of that chanting. And then following that desire to please Krishna, make the place clean where Krishna sits. Does that help?
Yes, Maharaj. But this desire to please Krishna is not there. Or at least...
Oh, it's there. You wouldn't be sitting here this morning if it wasn't there. You'd be doing something else. It's there.
Or I find like the enjoyer tendency is so strong that you don't think of Krishna.
Okay. That's okay. Agreed. Now what? You continue to... You ever done gardening? Not much. Supposing you want to do some gardening, or somebody's doing some gardening. They want to plant some flowers in the spring so that they can offer to their deities or place on their altar at home. So you get some seedlings or some seeds, and you sprout the seeds, and you get some seedlings. Then you plant the seedlings in the soil. Now what happens? Along with the flower that you want to grow, weeds appear. And weeds grow faster than the flowers. So while you're watering and watering and watering, and the sun and everything, the flowers are growing, the weeds are growing faster. So you have to, if you want the flowers to grow, you have to do some weeding in the garden. A lazy person can't have a nice garden. It takes some effort. Similarly, for the bhakti creeper to grow, when you chant, there's other desires in the heart besides the one, as you already mentioned, so they get nourished too. They have to do some gardening in the heart. I encourage you to read a very lengthy purport in the Chaitanya Charitamrita related to the cleansing of the Gundicha temple. Gundicha temple is before the Ratha Yatra in Puri. Lord Chaitanya's associates, they go to the Gundicha temple and they cleanse the temple. And long purport, Bhaktisiddhanta expresses it, the cleansing of the temple is done like the cleansing of the heart, to make the temple a place where Jagannath will want to come, similarly make the heart a place where Krishna will want to show himself, like it's being expressed here. It's the heart cleaning time. And it's part of bhakti. Now, however strong, medium, or weak the desire to please Krishna is, the heart cleansing needs to go on. Strong, medium, or weak. It needs to go on. And it's a service. Like cleansing of the Gundicha temple, it's a service. So he Bhaktisiddhanta speaks of the straws, the grains of sand, and the particles of dust that they gather from cleansing the temple. This refers to this, and that refers to that. And making the heart clean. It's part of the bhakti process. Important is to make sure that the purpose is to please Krishna. Bhakti is in the foreground. And on the basis of that, Krishna is to be pleased. Let me make the heart clean. It's a service. As much as, you know, cooking for your family or chanting your japa or going to work or any of the other things that you do, those services. Ultimately, the services to Krishna. And this is also a service to Krishna. It's a subtle, but it's a service to Krishna, so that Krishna will be pleased. So that when you come before him, there's a big smile. That's what we want. Krishna should be pleased. So there's a service towards that objective. A mistake sounds like what you in your question you described. A mistake is to get distracted by the unwanted things, and so let me not think of the unwanted things because it makes me distracted. Let me just focus on chant and be happy. So both perspectives, the bhakti process cleanses. So just engage in the bhakti process. And don't worry about it. Just engage nicely in the bhakti process. That's one way to think of it. But part of part of the bhakti process is, I want to make the heart clean. So that Krishna will reside there and I'll be intimately, devotionally connected with him. So that's part of the bhakti process. Not separate from, it's a subset of, or it's an element contained within the bhakti process. Make the heart clean. It requires some effort. As part of the bhakti process, not separately or independently. Done? Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.